welcome everybody to episode number 2 of the Pig Podcast.
Platinum Investment Group.
I got my good buddy, friend, real estate investor extraordinaire, Tobias Smulders here. How are you, buddy?
Thanks. Good. How are you doing?
I'm awesome, man. You getting excited for the holidays?
Yeah. You?
Amazing. You know what? We were just talking earlier about probably the coolest thing that I've heard that you're doing with your family. Oh. Tell everybody about that. I think it's amazing.
Taking the whole family away. Big trip. 17 of us going to Mexico.
That is so cool. Yes. 17 of you going away to Mexico.
Yes.
That you are taking them.
Yeah. Man. My partner and I were taking the whole family away. She's a big driving factor on everything I do too.
And of course she is. Yeah. She's a sweetheart. Now, could you have done that without real estate investment?
No, never.
Yes. All right. We're done. That's all we got to tell people, right?
End of show.
Yeah. But it's amazing, you know what? Yeah. Like, I'm sure a lot of people listen to this do the dream boards, do all the stuff that you and I have done, right? I remember doing my dream board years ago, and to be able to take your whole family away, I would say that's probably on 80 to 90% of people's dream boards, and totally. You're doing it. That's so fucking cool, man.
Top of the list for us.
I'm so happy for you, man.
We had a couple year plan for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big investment to save up for. And everybody just is bananas. Some people have never been on vacation, so it's their first time ever going out of country.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, you're not taking them all the way to Brantford.
No, yeah.
No offense to Brantford, okay? Just kidding. No offense to Brantford, right? I love Brantford.
Yes.
So today, let's get into the meat and potatoes and talk about buying, like, your first investment, rental. Right? Yeah. Because I think it's kind of like all fine and dandy to, you know, get there at the end, but how do you get your first one, right?
Yeah.
So I think, what do you think? So let's dive in. What's the first step you think? So someone wants to buy their very first rental property. What do you do first?
I think very first rental property, there's two scenarios. Mm-hmm. You either don't own a house and you live at home or rent or something like that.
Yep.
Or you have a house already.
Yep.
And that's probably an easier scenario.
So let's do that.
Yeah.
Option
two there. If you have a house, live there for a little bit. You talk to a good mortgage broker, somebody like Brian.
I know one.
And you can access the equity of your property that's already existing, that you already built up by owning a house, which is number one way to get your down payment. Because when you go buy your rental investment, you're going to need to put down 20% if you're not going to live in it.
Yep, totally. Yeah. And you know what? This is something, and I love this scenario, because if you already own a house, right? Mm-hmm. Chances are you've got equity, especially if you bought it maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago. Totally. Market's gone up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And you're sitting on your down payment. And I get so excited about this, and it's not just the coffee, because what people don't necessarily realize, if you already own a home and you're worried about taking a risk, you're going to borrow the money from your house. You're going to refinance it, take out maybe a secured line of credit. We have lots of options to do that. And essentially, you're buying with nothing down.
Yeah. It's like 100% financing.
It is, because 20% of your money is going to come out from where you live.
Yes.
So that's borrowed money again.
Yeah.
And then you're borrowing the other 80% on the house that you're buying. So essentially, it's 100% finance. Now, what do you think about that when people say, oh, shit, 100% buy? That's scary. I don't want to do that. Mom and dad said, don't borrow all that money.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that's what people say.
I think it's the shortest avenue to that goal of second home ownership. And then actually another option is some people, they go for the option of upgrade. So they buy their new house that they liked better and they keep the old one as a rental.
I can still
borrow that money. Mm-hmm. But now instead of doing 20 down, you can get away with a little bit less, pay CMHC.
Those
mortgage insurance companies. That's my favorite program.
Yeah.
I used it many times
to
buy multiple rentals. That helped me really grow that portfolio a lot faster.
You know what? That's a great point. And I think that's a great way too, because people who own their house right now and buy the move up and keep the backup.
Yeah.
You already know the house. You already know the roof. You already know the furnace, right?
Yes.
And I heard a great line the other day. Who knows who said it, but I'm going to say that I said it because I remember it. But when you're scared of something, that's when you need courage.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it takes courage to get into investment properties.
Absolutely.
And there can be no courage without fear.
Yes.
You cannot be courageous if you don't act in the face of fear.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, and the other thing too is, like, when you say you're borrowing 100% financing, mm-hmm. it's not like you're going to the casino and putting it all on red.
Yeah.
And hoping it just comes back to you. You're putting it into an investment that's going to pay you, that's going to go up, the mortgage is going to go down. So it's not like you're just borrowing money willy-nilly for yeah. something.
And it's a proven performer.
Yes.
Like real estate truly is something that's over the decades, time and time again, performed very well.
And I think you and I are the same. That's why me and Tobias, why I love you so much, because we're of the same opinion. Real estate, for me anyways, is not a get rich quick.
No.
You buy, you hold, you're going to have ebbs and flows, ups and downs.
Yes.
But if you hold something for 5, 10, 15 years, oh my gosh, like,
yes.
you're not going to lose.
Yeah. And then, so that leads into, we talked about if you move up, you know the house.
Yeah.
So that's another fear people have with yeah, their first rental.
That's true.
Is, you know, what if I have to fix stuff all the time?
Totally. What if the roof breaks? What if the furnace breaks?
All these things. Oh my God. Right. What if I have to do this? Well, what ifs are just fears
true.
That can be overcome with education.
True.
And that's the easiest part to omit in the buying process. You get a home inspection and you make sure you know going ahead, fully educated on the property, what could need to be done. The home inspector is going to give you estimates on how old things are and how long things normally last for. And whether you're a new home buyer or you own a house already, you sort of get the best education on home ownership in yeah. general through a home inspection too. They give you a lot of tips on maintenance and stuff.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, what's a home inspection? $400, $500?
Yeah.
It's way better than getting Uncle Ted who, you know, was a bricklayer 30 years ago and knows how, like...
His buddy Bill.
Yeah, and then his buddy Bill comes who's done some plumbing. And no offense to Ted and Bill. You guys are awesome, right? But pay the money. You get what you pay for.
Totally.
Right? You get yeah. free advice. I'm sorry to say that's what it's worth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So pay for a professional home inspector to go in and do it.
Right? Absolutely.
What would you say, because people, you know, fears come, and I like this one. What would you say the most expensive thing is that you've had to fix on one of your properties? Now, I'm not talking nice. A big gut job right?
Yeah.
But you've owned, you know, hundreds of, you know, you've owned lots and lots of units. And yeah. would you say, what's the biggest, like, oh shit thing that's come up that you had to pay for?
The most expensive thing, now I didn't have to pay for it, but I know that it's widely, the most expensive thing was to rewire the whole house and upgrade the service. And for a bungalow, mm-hmm. that's still under $10,000.
Cool.
And for a 2.5-story, like my house that we did in stages,
yeah.
The service was already done, that's around $15,000.
So that was rewiring. That's basically knob and tube.
Brand new everything, top to bottom. Licensed electrician went in and did it for somebody. And I would say that's the most expensive thing.
But you would know about that from a home inspection.
From a home inspection.
So that's kind of something that, like, that's the most expensive yeah. thing. Because I know a lot of times our brains start to worry, right?
These costs.
So what would be something that's really expensive that you would say that a home inspector... Not that they would miss,
yep.
but let's say they might bring to light, but yep. then it might come up in a year or two. What yes. would you say?
I think one of the big things that people get worried about, furnaces.
Totally.
What happens when the furnace goes? Because that's something, you know, you say, oh, it's 10 years old, it's 5 years old, it's 30 years old. How long is it going to last? You don't really, really know.
I had one home inspector say, hey, Brian, it's a 25-year-old furnace. Could last 5 minutes, could last 5 years.
Yes. Yeah, like, totally.
Great.
And that's the most expensive thing I had to buy for my house. It was $3,200.
Cool.
And I bought that house specifically because it had a 3-year-old furnace. And I said, oh, I'm not going to have to worry about this forever. And the furnace 5 years later, so it's 8 years old. So
that's
still pretty new. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And, cracked heat exchanger had to be replaced. And then we have another house, the furnace from 1980.
It's still going bright.
And it's still going strong. Yeah. So I would say that's an unexpected cost.
Yeah.
That a home inspector wouldn't exactly know the time, but you can get a still good idea.
Like, you know what? I love that because I would have to agree. I would say the furnace has been by far my biggest sort of,
yes.
oh shit, that yes. needs to be done.
Yeah.
But when you're getting into rental properties and you're getting your first, and if your biggest unforeseen expense is $3,000, don't forget when you move in, you're getting first and last.
Yeah.
Or when the tenant moves in, you're getting first and last.
There
so if you've got, you know, a single family being rented for $1,800 right now.
$3,600.
You got $3,600 in your bank account.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So even half of that, you're halfway there to your biggest expense. So I think educate yourself and understand that, you know what, you're going to get bad advice from people that don't know what they're doing.
Totally.
Listen to this guy.
There we go.
He knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah. So I think second step, once you get your pre-approval and all your financing set up, find a good realtor.
We know one.
Yeah, call me. If I'm not your marketplace, Hamilton, Burlington, Halton area, call me anyway, and I'll set you up with a partner. We have multiple partners all over the country that can get you into a good space.
And I think, you know what, of course, we're going to put shameless plugs in here for ourselves, right?
Yes.
But I really want to say it is important, right? Because I think if you're buying an investment property, it's important to deal with people who know investments, right?
Totally. And
Tobias knows investments, right? You own investment properties. Yes. You've dealt with investment properties. If someone who doesn't own investment property is trying to sell you one, how valuable is the advice, right? Yeah. It's kind of like I equate it to the personal trainer that's teaching me how to get a six pack and is eating Dunkin' Donuts while he's doing it, right? He's probably not the best guy to teach me.
If he's got a six pack and he's eating Dunkin' Donuts, let me know where
he is. Well, yeah, maybe I do. Maybe I know where he is. Maybe I know how to learn from this guy, right? So,
yeah.
No, I totally agree. And I think that's super important to be able to do that.
Yeah. And I think that when you're buying an investment or anything scary and you need advice, you got to be able to lean into your people and know like that they're going to have your back.
I agree. Cause it's like it's a journey, right? It's something that goes on because you're going to have, did it go off?
It just stopped. That's okay. Cool. We got 10 minutes of good video content.
All right, cool. Yeah. We'll trying to tape it. Now it's done. All right, cool. We're all learning right? Everybody we're good investors.
Yeah, yeah.
But, where were we there? Yeah. So I think it is important to have the team, right?
Yes,
because you're going to sell them the house, but then also when they have the lease agreement that they might need help with or the problem tenant, right? Because chances are
fear number two and three, how will I get tenants and what if they don't pay?
So let's talk about that because I know you provide the Smulders group. Your team provides a phenomenal support group.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
it's not like AA, but like you end up like, it's full service because basically 12 months, 24 months later, your investor can call you.
Yes.
And you'll still help them with whatever issues they have.
Absolutely. Right? It doesn't end, you know, the day you get the keys.
Yeah.
We've got a partnership ongoing. And if you need a referral source or you just need something done, we've got a handyman crew that maintains all of our rentals. And we offer that out to all our clients too.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's awesome.
And, they can just about fix anything. And if they can't fix it or if, you know, it's electrical plumbing, they're not licensed to fix it. We have those guys too that are reliable and good sources to come in and help you out.
So let's talk about those fears then, right? So we talked about fear number one, which was,
How do you get started?
Yeah. Bullshit now. No fears. Move along, right? So now fear number two is the tenant. So let's try to squash those fears because bad tenants make for good stories.
Yes, totally.
They do. So anybody who's getting a rental, you know, when you talk to Uncle Ted again, Uncle Ted's always around for this stuff, right? Uncle Ted's the one who had a rental property 15 years ago and his tenants screwed him over.
Never paid anything, lived there for 4.5 years, destroyed the walls.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
So how do we squash that fear? What's your real experience with having tenants for over 10 years? Like what's your real experience with them?
So I'm still doing it. So it's a good income
source. That's true.
Yeah. You know, so it must be worth it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my only play too, to make money. So, you know, I'm still doing it. So it's good income generator.
Right.
The general consensus is it's not that hard. Like you don't have to do that much. There's stuff, things come up and tenants come and go and you got vacant spaces that you fill, but it's short term.
I agree.
You're empty that, you know, and when you're factoring your pro forma, like what you look at, what the building's going to generate for income, they allow for vacancy.
Right.
A percentage.
What do you allow? 5% for vacancy?
People do 4 or 5%.
Yep.
And I would say that in 10 years, I haven't had that.
I agree.
You know, in my fourplex, I think for 5 years, it was never empty.
Right.
I never had a vacancy ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, I only own that building at that time. Very short period, I got the next one. But I never had vacancies before. The only time I have had vacancies is when I've chosen to have vacancy because I want to reno.
Because
I want to reno.
See, I think that's important. Two things that sort of come up with that. Number one, supply and demand is pretty simple.
Totally.
Right? When you are supplying a product, aka a rental property, if it's not being rented, you can drop the price.
You can adjust the price.
right?
Or and make then, it better.
Right. Or make sweet, it better. Or do both. Right. Yeah. So I have never had a purpose, like I've had purposeful vacancy,
yeah.
but never had a vacancy for longer than 2 months.
Never.
And it's because you adjust, right?
Totally.
And I think that's perfect. The other thing I think that's really important with tenants is the screening of them. What do you think about screening people for tenants?
I've become much better at it over the years.
Totally.
When you are tight and you're trying to fill it because it's your first rental and you know your mortgage payment hinges on you having that tenant.
I've been there.
Yeah. You sometimes become more lax on what are you going to do to get that place filled.
Mine was, oh, you showed up and you have a deposit. You got the place. Totally.
But you'll find long term that that is a more expensive option than keeping it vacant for 1 month.
Very true.
When you're changing over the tenant, you don't want to move it in and move it out on the same day because it's often that person, not always, but a lot, sometimes that person that's there and doesn't have a place and needs a place in 7 days, they're in that position for a reason. You know, they're not that responsible and they found themselves out of housing in 7 days if they don't rent your place.
I agree. I think that's a good tactic, right? Number one, if someone does not have the foresight to know that they're going to be moving in 30 days and they need a place in 5 or 6 days, that should be a red flag.
Totally, red flag.
Right?
Watch for those red flags.
Yeah, so that's a big red flag, right? And I agree too. It's way better to be... Now, I used to do something called... now my property manager does it, like an open house.
Yes. Right?
Do you guys do that?
That's how we always do our showings now.
And I like that because essentially if you have everybody show up between 2 and 3 o'clock or 2 and 4 that wants to rent it, you're creating excitement.
A sense of urgency. Oh my God, there's other people that want it.
Right. And I think that's a great way to maximize your time.
Maximize your time. Save right? you.
And that's something that you guys will do as well too because you also do leases.
We do leases for people too, yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's pretty inexpensive for what you get, actually. Yeah. In terms of leasing, we do, you know, background check, put our expertise to work to find out the screening process of that tenant and make sure that they're going to be a good fit.
Yeah.
And it only costs 1 month's rent. And half goes to the you know, realtor that brings in the tenant.
Half goes to you guys.
And half goes for the
I think
listing.
That's such a worthwhile, especially because a good tenant could be there for 2, 3, 4, or 5 years.
Yeah.
And you think about the amount of income that generates.
Totally.
What do you think about rental increases?
You should do them for sure. 100%. Always.
Yeah.
I used to not do them. I'd be like, oh, they're so good and they always pay.
I know.
And all this stuff and don't cause me too much hassle. But just recently I was talking to somebody about this. They had the same story. I said, you know, that's great. And they had not done a rental increase for 2 years, two and a half years. I said, you know, it is good, but the hydro's gone up, the property taxes go up, gas goes up, insurance goes up like 5% every year.
Yeah.
So in order to maintain that same level of service to that tenant, because they're still a client when you have a tenant, they're your client.
Yeah, very true.
You got to have money in the pot to be able to properly serve them. So if you're renting to them for the same and your expenses have increased, you're actually netting less money.
And you can't provide the same service.
So when that toilet breaks, you might try to go get Uncle Ted to fix it for you instead of sending a plumber to do it properly.
Right.
Or, you know, your washer goes or something like that. You have issues. And as your portfolio grows, you know, say 2% on $2,000 a month is only $40. But if you have 10 rental units, that's $400 a month.
Yeah.
So in a whole year, it's $5,000. So you're worried about a furnace going sometime.
Well, you got a furnace every year.
Every year, you've got that covered.
So true. And I learned the hard way too, because I've got some ones right now that are sitting well below market value.
Yes.
Because I had, and I still, hey, they are great people, but the reality is that I made that mistake.
Yes.
And now I've got to catch up at 1.8% per year, 2% per year, whatever the tribunal allows me. And it's tough.
Yeah. And what's your best line? I love your line.
Ooh.
What is the award for world's greatest landlord?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Totally.
And ultimately,
you're absolutely right.
Ultimately, it's an investment.
Yeah.
And if your rents are low and 10 years later, you want to sell your investment, and that tenant's there, they have rights to that property.
Yeah.
That hampers your sale value. And we see it all the time in
I agree. You know what? You're going to get into real estate investment. Surround yourself with the pros. Good mortgage broker. Good real estate agent. Right? People who know what they're doing. Right? The last thing I want to do too is one of my biggest mistakes was I used to be so laxed because I was a nice landlord on paperwork.
Oh.
I used to always be like, hey, you know what? Not fill out my N4 on time or my L1s on time because they said they were going to pay.
Yep.
And the biggest thing that I learned was, hey, it's nothing personal. Yep. If you pay me, you know, next Friday, like you say you're going to pay me, no worries.
Yep.
But here is your N4 eviction notice. Here's your paperwork because you have to serve it. And I think if I've made, you know, little mistakes that can compound.
Yes.
It's not having your paperwork done on time.
Totally. And that leads into, I think one of my biggest mistakes is trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And I think it happens.
Gotta be an asshole. No,
a lot of things. Everybody always says my landlord's an asshole. It's because he has to be, because every tenant or the majority of tenants, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile and they'll take advantage of that niceness.
Totally.
Maybe not even on purpose. They'll just do it because they know they can get away with it and it's lax. But yeah, late rent payments, it goes to 3 days and then 5 days and 7 days and 24 days. And then before you know it, if they don't have rent 2 weeks in, they're not going to have rent again in 2 weeks to pay on time. And it's a cycle. You got to keep that sort of on the rails and make sure you have everything in line, because you as the investor need that money too.
And I totally agree. And you can't go and tell the bank I'm going to pay you 2 weeks.
Yeah.
My cat got sick. I'm going to pay you 2 weeks, right? Like, it just doesn't work, right? But I agree. We've both been there. And I think if you're going to buy your first investment,
treat it like a business.
Yes.
That's the most important piece of advice.
Or if you know that you're a big softie,
yes,
hire someone to do it. Help. Right? Totally. Because you can be the nice person. You can have someone removed, right? Yes. I think I'm a much better landlord now that I've hired someone to do it.
Yes.
Because I'm a big suck sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's just know and be honest with your strengths and weaknesses, I think,
totally,
when you get into it. Because, yeah.
Or if you have a partner.
Yes.
Put the partner that's strong in that field in charge of that. And you take on something else that's going to be your strength.
Total. I think that's a great point. Another great asset for having a partner.
Yeah.
Oh, Tobias, this is awesome, man. You know what? I'm so, this was a great one. Lots of great nuggets here. If anybody has any questions, please reach out to Tobias. Email below, text, call.
Perfect.
Same with myself, Emission 35. If anybody's looking for questions, concerns, comments, or any other topics, please let us know. Our mission here is to serve you and really help change your life.
Yeah,
real estate does that for you.
It's life changing.
Awesome, man. Thank you. All right, guys, make this a fabulous day.